As we prepare to encounter God's word, let us begin with prayer. O Holy Spirit of God, teach us. As the scriptures are open, help us to see you first and foremost. In your name, amen. This morning, our scripture is from the Psalms, Psalm 139, that beautiful psalm that most of us know quite well. It's a psalm where the psalmist was saying that God knows me. God knows me completely. Even in my mother's womb, God knew the character of the individual. God knows me through and through. But there's one word here I want to discuss, and that is the word Sheol. It's an Old Testament word. A lot of people think it means hell or Hades. But Sheol, basically in the Old Testament time, it meant that's where the dead went. It was the part of the earth, the grave, the abode of the dead, for animals as well as humans. It was a place for the righteous as well as the wicked. It was a place where there was no light, total darkness. It was void of love, of envy, work, hate, knowledge, wisdom. And yet the presence of Almighty God reached out into Sheol. God's hand was there, and God delivers those from Sheol. So hear the words of Scripture. O Lord, you have searched me and you've known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all of my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high, I cannot attain it. Where can I flee from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and settle in the furthest limits of the sea, even there, your hand shall lead me and your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, well, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light around me will become night. Even the darkness is not dark to you, and the night is as bright as the day. The darkness is as light to you. For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb, and I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works that I know very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes beheld my unformed substance, and in your book were written all the days that were formed for me, when yet none of them existed. How weighty to me are your thoughts, O God! How vast the sum of them! I try to count them, and they are more than the sand. Now search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. The word of the Lord. How wonderful it is, how fearful it is to be known by God, Almighty God. As the psalmist says, O Lord, you have searched me, and you know me. You know, and yet, though to be searched by God may have a feeling of intrusion, for someone to look deep into our soul, deep, deep where nothing is ever hidden, where no one else ever even notices you, where no one else has time to bother. It is still God who searches. Now, there is a part in this sermon about darkness, but I didn't know it was going to be so early. Thank you, Dale. Thank you. Let us pray. Lord, teach us what it means to let go and to let you come into our inner being, in our hearts, in our lives, for you already know us completely. Amen. Have you ever been in a place where people just seem to rush past you and it's as though you don't even exist? You know, it can be at the grocery store, it may be where you exercise, or it could be here at church. You know, when that happens, I sort of feel like I'm invisible. And I sort of decided that when you get older, you know, people just think you're invisible. But I see it of all ages, not just with the elderly. People passing without eye contact, without recognition. But trust that you may be in someone else's space and they not know it. But you're always in God's space. And God is aware of that. You are endlessly in God's mind. God does not get tired of you. God searches you. God wants you to let God in and not keep God at arm's length. God is always waiting. A little boy asked his grandfather, "Grandpa, how old are you?" And Grandpa looked at him and said, "Well, I'm 39 and holding." The little boy waited a while, and then he said, "Grandpa, how old would you be if you let go?" You know, God knows us, whether we let go or not. God's eye is on the sparrow. God has counted the number of hairs on our head, has written our name in the palm of his hand, has collected our tears. For God, there are no anonymous sheep that you write off or that you forget about. For none are lost to God. God cares about the least coin, the lost sheep, the lost sinner. In the cemetery in Omaha Beach, Normandy, France, the cemetery is dedicated to the unknown soldiers of World War II. The remains of soldiers are interred in that cemetery, but no one knows their date of birth or their name to put on a headstone. No one knows except God, the one who holds the sufferings of this world. And on each gravestone, inscribe the words, "Here rest in honored glory, a comrade in arms, known but to God." Known by God, how wonderful. Pastor Dietrich Bonhoeffer was imprisoned for his resistance against the Nazis, and he wrote a poem while in prison titled, "Who Am I?" As he meditated on the difference between how he saw himself and how he felt other people saw him, he said, "Others see me as this cheerful tower of strength and faith amidst the suffering, amidst what I'm facing." But he said, "For me, I feel restless and yearning and sick, like a tiny bird in a cage, barely alive." He said, "Am I this man or am I this man? And one day I'm this, one day I'm that? Or am I just an imposter to others and to me little more than a whining, despicable weakling?" And then Bonhoeffer concludes his poem and says, "Whoever I am, you know me, O God, and you know that I am yours." How wonderful to be known by God even when we do not know ourselves that well. To be searched by the living God and known by God. One day I was at the airport and a gentleman ahead of me, the alarm went off and he was told to kind of step aside from security, and they took his luggage, and they were kind of going through the luggage, rummaging through and taking out some of his personal items, and he said, "I'm not hiding anything." His shoes were off, his belt was off, his pockets were turned inside out, the shirt tail was pulled out, and the TSA agent then said, "Stretch out, bend over," and it was almost like we needed to turn our gaze, you know, that all dignity was gone. But the man was very good-natured, and before long, the TSA agent says, okay, you're free to go. But as I was walking toward my gate, I couldn't help but think, to be searched is embarrassing. It's a feeling that you're being violated, even though I understood the necessity for security. And then I thought, but God searches even deeper than that, knows us completely. But I don't think most of us even want to be known by anyone through and through. We want to be in control of who knows what about us, how much they know, and when they know it. Isn't that why sometimes marriage is a little difficult? You get married and suddenly this other person knows an awfully lot about you. They know when you're putting on airs of the fluff. They've got you figured out. Just this last week, my husband said, okay, Val, I know you're tired, but don't get ornery. And what do you think my reaction was? How would you say, how would you know? He knows me. He knows me. I think that's why children have a hard time with their parents, who know them so well. I mean, they hold them as infants in their arms. And of course they know them. They know what causes them to tick. And the young person may resent this intrusion as they get older. I don't believe most any of us want to be known, even by God, even though we may say otherwise. I think it's part of the reason that Jesus was crucified, was killed. They had a hard time with this Jesus and his intimacy. He would look at you and he knew you. He could pierce right through. It was almost a suffocating intimacy. If you remember the woman at the well, she ran back to her village and she said, I met a man who had just told me everything I have ever done. Go see him. And if you remember, few people took her up on that offer. To have someone stare into your soul, the deep penetrating eyes of Jesus, it's hard. And I think we can only take so much of that. Clarence Jordan wrote the Cotton Patch Bible, and he said, as long as God is a good idea, an abstraction, a feeling, we're fine with God. But then Jesus showed up in the flesh, looking at us with those piercing eyes, intimate with every person he connected with, and suddenly God was real and tangible on earth as in heaven. And we decided it was not a good place for God to be. And Jordan went on to say, it's like putting a nun in a bar or a preacher in a barber shop. I couldn't quite get that one, Jimmy. We feel hemmed in. And so we want to say, back off. I'll see you for an hour on Sunday morning. And then we roll the stone in front of the tomb and seal it off. It's a fearful thing to be known by God, to be followed, to be searched by the all-knowing God who will not leave us alone. The resurrected Christ came back, and what did he say? Lo, I am with you always to the end of time. In other words, I think it may have been more like a threat than a promise. And you say, where can we get away? Where can we flee from your presence, O God? If we go to the heavens, you're there. If we go to the furthest depths of the sea, even there, you are present and your hand is upon us and your right hand is holding us. And it is not dark to you. You know, I couldn't help but think of the Malaysian Flight 370 that was in the Indian Ocean in 2014. And I think God's hand holding, and it is not dark to God in that place. You know, the darkness is not dark to God. We can pull the shades. We can flip off the lights, just as happened. Or we can cover up our head with our own self-deception, but it's like we're still in the spotlight to God. He knows us. How fearful, how wonderful to be known by God. The battle's really over. We don't need to hide, but to be known means that not only are we known, we are accepted. Nothing was found that was not already known and embraced. Everything. The God who will not let us escape is the God who has created us fearfully and wonderfully in the first place. Think about God creating you. In the depths of mystery, in your mother's womb, your unformed substance, God creating and saying, here is the number of days for you before one existed. Here is the sum total. And whether you're 2 or whether you're 99, here is the total of days. What a wonderful thing to be created by God. I have to say that this particular part is very meaningful for me this weekend for Wes and I. At 74 years of age, we're not grandparents, but our daughter is 13 weeks pregnant. And as the first trimester ended yesterday, we get to announce. So she's 13 weeks pregnant. And so as I think of this, how wonderful, what's going on? To be searched and known by God. C.S. Lewis tells of his own conversion. And I always look at C.S. Lewis as a level 6, and I'm about a level 2 spiritually. He is so far above me. And he talks about the blessed surrender. And he said that you might picture me alone in a room at night, night after night, feeling the unrelenting approach of God, to whom I earnestly desired not to meet. This is what I greatly feared, but has now come upon me. And so he said, I gave in. And I said, God is God. And I knelt and prayed. And perhaps that night, I became the most dejected and reluctant convert in all of England. But then Lewis went on to say, I did not see then what is now most obvious, that the divine God will accept a convert on such a terms who may come to him kicking and struggling and resentful and darting his eyes in every direction for a chance to escape. But God accepted him. You know, my challenge to you, this is Genesis Sunday. For everything, there is a season. And you are created by God and known by God. And it is not an accident that you are here, that God has called you by name. You have one life. And what you do with this one life that you have is your gift to God. Amen.